With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the podcast. This week brought to you by Christian Talbot's back after months in the wilderness. Where the hell has he been with his beard? Let's find out. This week on the podcast, we're going to be talking about Silicon Valley, which is a choice made by Christian Talbot. So in true male style, he's wandering in to talk about his subject, not interested in anyone else's. Christian, what have you got to say for yourself?
I'm very sorry I haven't been around. I've been back and forth to London lots, working and gigging and stuff, so I haven't been about. But I'm very glad to be here now.
Great.
Thank you.
It's not a great signal from Christian, but we can tell what you're saying. Yeah, so that's good.
Forgive you.
And let's just share the news, because I think we mentioned it on the podcast last week, but Christian and Mel won't know. Jamie Atherton here is having a child.
Yes.
Oh,
yes, the JB lineage shall carry on forth into another generation.
Wow.
Congratulations, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
It's
very
amazing.
Much.
What's particularly brilliant is the scan that Jamie sent a picture around of the scan. And I kid you not, I have never seen a closer picture to Snoopy lying in a hammock than I have of the scan of Jamie's child.
It's a very relaxed child. We keep having scans done, and every scan they'll say, oh, it'll probably take us ages to find your baby. And then, booth, they put the scanner on, and there's the baby straight away just looking really relaxed. And we went to go yesterday to check on the heartbeat, and they went, oh, we probably won't find the heartbeat. It'll probably take about 20 minutes. Booth, she puts the monitor on, there's the heartbeat straight on. He's just a very incredibly relaxed and well-behaved child.
Like you. No trouble.
Yeah. No.
Just going to go through life winging
Jamie,
it.
Jamie, do you know what flavour it is, yeah?
Yeah, it's boy flavoured.
And Mel, can you type a little quieter, please?
Boy flavoured.
Can you just edit that out? I'm trying to RSVP for the NBC press party at Comic-Con.
Oh, really? Oh.
Way more important than you guys.
No, we'll leave that in. And why don't you tell Christian who you're going to be seeing at Comic-Con this year?
Oh, everybody from Silicon Valley will be there. HBO's bringing the cast and Mike Judge.
Oh,
well. Yeah.
They're not the most forthcoming. I saw them interviewed. I saw online there a couple of days ago. I watched them. They were interviewed, and they were they weren't the most charismatic bunch. and then they asked for questions from the audience, and nobody had any questions, which was a bit embarrassing. But anyway,
if you've never heard this before, the point is we pick a box set that some of us haven't watched, and we watch one episode. So I have watched one episode of Silicon Valley. Jamie, what have you watched?
I've watched two episodes of Silicon Valley.
Two episodes. Wow. Mel?
I am halfway through season 3.
Whoa.
Okay.
So we got a feeling nice today's podcast might be a brief one. Jamie, have you got any news to fill us in before we get to Silicon Valley? Yeah.
I can do. So if you go to theboxsetpod.com/news, I put all the latest bits and bobs up there. There's some news. I haven't done the news in the last few weeks. So there's a few bits I'd like to catch you up on. First of all, Curb Your Enthusiasm is coming back. Larry David is working on this. Before it was actually officially announced that Curb was coming back, one of the main characters in it, Leon Black, played by J.B. Smooth, the comedian, admitted in an interview that he'd had a conversation with Larry where Larry said, are you going to be available for another series? And this was exciting news. And J.B. Smooth is brilliant in Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm so glad he's returning. And that was how the rumour mill began to release the news that Larry David was interested in making another series. It never officially ended. So it's great that he's got the motivation to continue making another series. It's been 5, maybe 6 years since the last series. And it's good news to hear it's coming back.
How many series have there been?
There've been nine, I think, 8 and 9.
Wow. Maybe we should do that on a podcast soon.
Oh, we definitely should do it. Yeah, it's coming back, and it's a show that does, admittedly, the style of it does take a little bit of getting used to for certain people. Mm. So it might be worth trying. In other news, so the documentary team who made the Netflix series Making a Murderer, it was huge. It was a massive, massive success. They're called Laura Ricciardi and Moira Demos. They spent like 6 years, I think maybe even longer, living with the family of Stephen Avery and getting the story. And that's why the documentary is so massive and 10 episodes long, but incredibly fascinating. Well, they're now working on a new show. This is not going to be a documentary. It's going to be with George Clooney's company. And it's called America's Most Admired Lawbreaker. They're going to tell the story of a journalist called Stephen Brill of the Huffington Post. He wrote a number of articles. It was all about the side effects of the drugs that are created for children and the elderly. So all these pharmaceutical companies have hid the fact that some of these drugs that were used to, you just used for children and elderly people to help them, or at least seemingly to help them, they hid the fact that there were some very dangerous side effects. And they're going to tell this story in a dramatic TV show working with George Clooney.
Nice. That's exciting.
Yeah, looks, it should be good, that. Obviously, it's a change of direction from the documentary world, but it'd be interesting if they can pull it off. Also, there's a really good trailer. HBO is working on has created a new version of the 1970s movie Westworld. Anyone seen the film Westworld?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I quite like the 70s film. Yeah, it's a Michael Crichton book that was adapted. It's based like, imagine Jurassic Park, but in this world, it's robot people. And you can go there and live out your fantasy of like being living in the Wild West. And you live in this world where there's robot human beings and you can pretend you're a cowboy. And so it's about creating fantasies for human beings, and it's a theme park populated with artificial beings, and it's got an amazing cast. A new version, J.J. Abrams has produced it. It's got Anthony Hopkins, Ed Harris, Thandie Newton, James Marsden. The trailer's up there. It looks very eerie, a lot more sort of dark and intriguing than the original 70s version. That's up. Let's have a look at that. Also, I put up there the top 10 list of TV from 2016 so far that I created. It's just my thoughts. So have a look, see what you think. All 10 of the best TV shows that have been out so far in 2016. That's your news.
Great. Thanks very much. Very exciting. And also, we should mention, because we mentioned it ages ago, but it's been a big month for the world of podcasts, because the Serial podcast with the Undisclosed podcast and the Bob Ruff Truth and Justice podcast really have caused a man to be made innocent until proven guilty again, instead of guilty, in the case of Adnan Syed. And it's just brilliant. It's excellent. If you've never listened to Serial or Truth and Justice or Undisclosed, particularly Undisclosed, what they've managed to do in getting a seemingly innocent man potentially free from jail is just phenomenal. So good one, podcasts. That's a win for the podcast world, I think.
Yeah.
How's that gone down in America, Mel?
It's exciting to watch and see that this medium that's kind of been written off by, I hate this term, but mainstream medium, but this platform is actually making a big difference, and people are starting to pay attention to it now.
Great. Good. Yep. Good. Well,
which means that the Box Set podcast is on the verge.
Yeah, what are we going to do? What are we going to free? We need to bring a Box Set back that's died, don't we? We need to start a campaign. Firefly.
If you want that to come back, Hal.
Yeah, I'm not a massive fan, I'll be honest. However, let's talk about Silicon Valley. So, Jamie, why don't you pitch to us what Silicon Valley is, having just watched the first two episodes?
So, yeah, it's a show, a comedy set in Silicon Valley. It appears to be a bunch of geeks, I'm not sure how many, about four or five geeks, all living within this community, trying to come up with the next big technological moneymaker. And in the first episode, one of the main characters in the show accidentally comes across a very clever algorithm that sends the computer world nuts and has them bidding for his idea. And he's got to decide to either sell his idea off or try and build it from scratch. And that's how the first episode kind of ends, with him in that kind of dilemma.
I would add, having been to San Francisco a few times and knowing a little bit about the politics of all this over there, it's a satire on what has been created over there. So, for example, in San Francisco, there's a lot of annoyance because Silicon Valley has brought super rich and super brilliant people to it, which is good on the one hand. On the other hand, they get to ride in free buses that go through the town and cause trouble for everyone else who's on normal buses, and they get free bus stops and all that. There's all sorts of politics attached to it, and this kind of seems to puncture that quite clearly. What did we think? Like I say, I've got a feeling this is going to be a short podcast, because I'll say straight off the bat, Christian, you have picked one that for the first time in a long time I immediately love. Episode one, it's brilliant.
Oh, great.
How rare a thing that is. Jamie, I'm presuming, because you went on to episode two, that you feel the same.
Well, I have an interesting relationship with the show, because I watched it 6 months ago, the first episode, and I didn't like it. And I don't remember why I didn't like it, but maybe I was just in the wrong frame of mind. But we started watching it, and I think we'd maybe started watching it after we'd finished another really good comedy. I think we just finished 30 Rock or something like that. And maybe going from something like that into a different paced show, we found it difficult. And we watched the first episode, and me and my wife, and we didn't get into it at all. And we were like, oh, no, it's not for us. And then we watched it again in preparation for this pod, and it was brilliant. And I was like, this is really, really funny.
Perhaps there is something to this podcast, in the sense that I did the same thing. I started it a while ago and left it. I wonder if the power of recommendation, you know, if it makes you feel a little bit more attentive, a bit more like there's a spotlight on you to give it a good go. But I couldn't believe that I didn't enjoy it as much the first time. Perhaps I didn't realise the first time that it was a comedy. I mean, it's clearly a comedy, but I didn't know when I went into it. I expected a kind of drama, and so, yeah, I'm not sure. But, absolutely brilliant stuff. I mean, I can't think of an objection to it.
There's also the thing is that it's quite a niche setup, being that it's in a... It's in an incubator, for our business startup incubator in Silicon Valley, which is not something that an awful lot of people can really kind of associate with. Straight off, it's not a very familiar environment. And I think you have to be. It helps if you're a bit kind of nerdy or you're a bit kind of techie as well to get into the series.
You know what I think as well, perhaps, see what you think of this, Mel, is that until recently, the last couple of years, Apple's share price has begun to go down a little bit, and the whole Silicon Valley thing has gained its own sort of tropes and its own, it's become more easily it's become easier to laugh at, because previous to that, we just all wanted to work there and it was the future of everything, and it probably still is that, but back then we were like, oh my god, Google is like the greatest place in the world to work. And so if you watched it then, with them taking the piss out of their little cars or whatever, you might not have really agreed with the joke, whereas now it's like we're a bit more postmodern about that stuff, and we're going, yeah, do you know what, this stuff is a bit wanky, and it's a bit up its own arse, this world. And so we can laugh about it a bit more now that we've all started to emulate it in businesses that we work in and stuff. We go, oh, this is all bullshit, they're all just rich people.
Yeah, the paradigm really didn't shift that far, did it?
No. No, I think.
Yeah, and I think there's also something about, like, Mike Judge is one of the main creators of the show. He's created King of the Hill and Beavis and Butthead and Office Space, and he reminds me a lot of Office Space. And his comedies are, I think, very sort of like unique, have a very unique voice, and take a while almost to get attuned to, and once you do, you find it, you just can't believe how brilliant it is. Maybe there's a little bit of getting used to how his comedies work, and I didn't realize Mike Judge actually started off in Silicon Valley. Like, that's where
did he
yeah in the, I well, think in God, the early
very
80s
early. Yeah, before it was Silicon Valley probably.
If
you've watched that Office Space has become a huge cult hit. If you've ever worked in a sort of a battery fed cubicle business, you can associate with that movie, particularly with how horrible all the other people you work with are. But I've worked in that sort of environment for a long time, and would watch Office Space regularly.
just to get through it.
Just to relax.
Yeah. I particularly like in the first episode when this guy has made an offer of $10 million or $200,000 and the ability to own the company. When he's given that choice, he just runs away and goes and pukes. And goes to the doctor, who immediately offers him tries to buy a share in a business, and he pukes again, or asks him to invest. And I think there's a really good, it's a really good device to immediately make us complicit with the everyman. We're the everyman. He's the everyman. You know, we go, yeah, that is exactly how we would react in that situation as well. Probably.
It's one reason that I like this show so much is that straight out of college, I started working for an internet service provider here in my small town. It was still dial up at the time, and we were pretty much the only game in town. The cable company had something, but it's the cable company and they suck. So we were very successful. My older brother owned it.
Wow.
I was, it was a small company. I was the office manager, marketing director. I did some tech support. I did bookkeeping. And I worked there for about 6 years, 7 years maybe. And over the course of those years, a lot of what happens in Silicon Valley happened to that company.
Really?
Yeah.
Sell
that incubator
out?
House looked like our office. He should have sold out.
Oh no.
Let me just say that. He should have sold out. The company no longer exists.
Oh.
But then when DSL and wireless started happening, he decided to go with wireless, but the infrastructure wasn't in place and people were trying to buy him out. And he said, no, he could do it himself. And, but you get this power struggle that's happening in Silicon Valley, and it gets more and more intense as the episodes go on.
Well, let's go around the room. What would you do? Would you sell out for $10 million, or would you keep? So Mel definitely would.
I'm out.
The voice of experience. Christian.
Oh my God! In a heartbeat, I'd sell up. I'd take the money to sit on a beach. I wouldn't want to have to do anything else.
Sit on a beach, yeah. It's like, how much do you need? But then, if you were sat on that beach and you knew that they'd made $12 billion out of it, would that not fill you with puke?
But they
no,
have
because I have £10 million and I'm sitting on a beach.
yeah. You could do a lot with $10 million, but you can't buy a house in San Francisco. So, what about you, Jamie?
I'd take the money, I think. I mean, we were talking about when we watched the first episode what we do.
I just asked Jamie what he'd do if someone offered him 10 million quid to just hand something over. As if he'd say, yeah, I'd take the work.
Well, I mean, come on, who does? I mean, I think you're the only one who would build the company, Howell, aren't you?
So were you watching it just going, what are you doing, you idiot?
It was hard not to be annoyed with him, but I admired his belief and his integrity. I just I couldn't see myself going down that path. You would though, Howell, yeah?
Well, I said to my wife, I mean, mine's an option C, which isn't allowed. My option C would be buy me out for 10 million, but give me 1% of the business, please.
There you go.
You can't have a third option. Oh,
yeah. Well, but you're in a negotiating position, so yeah, true. Why not?
You
why
should
not?
Have done that. Like, why?
Yeah, but
it's a flaw in the series, Christian, and I will not watch it any further. Well, you should have made option C.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you a flaw. I'll give you a potential flaw in the series just to cause an argument.
Okay.
The main guy is a bit whiny, and I'm worried that his whiny timidity that he delivers will get a bit annoying.
Yep.
And I'm worried that I'll lose interest in that character, and he's quite an important character. And just is that something that is a concern?
I wouldn't be too concerned about it. I think also a lot of the other characters take on a little bit more prominence later on as well. So you've got, you know, T.J. Miller's character and Dinesh and Guilfoyle, and they kind of there's more of them. And so yeah, he is a little bit spineless, but he you'll see in later episodes he does grow a pair after a while.
I think it seems,
and I'm not giving that away by saying that, but
it seems immediately to me though, Jamie, that the entertaining thing about it is that it's an ensemble and he's just he's there to represent that, and it's the reaction of others which is going to make it so funny.
Yeah.
I mean, just that scene TJ Miller sat sucking the spaghetti in the first episode. Yeah. And he goes in to tell him which way his decision has gone. And TJ Miller is one of those actors that you cannot teach how to be that confident on a set. Like, he just embodies, he's a big guy and he's a guy who's fatter than he should be. And it just makes him funny. Everything about him is funny in his shape and his size, but his acting is brilliant. And he's a really good voice actor. He was in lots of animated stuff and things.
I thought he's a great stand-up comedian as well.
Oh, is he?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's the one who gets on my nerves.
But isn't that your relationship with the character rather than, like, TJ Miller? Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's the character, because I've worked with him.
You've worked?
I know that. I've known that. No, not TJ Miller. I've worked with that character. Yeah. I know what it's like to be in the room with that character when you're trying to focus and make some actual decisions and be productive, and he's being a douchebag.
Oh, dear.
One of the biggest compliments I can pay the show is that I was watching the second episode distracted and in a slightly bad mood. And I always think that's a great test for a comedy is if you're not in the mood for it, if you're totally not, you're not in a laughing mood whatsoever. Mm. And there's a scene in the second episode where this one character is basically getting slagged off by the other characters, but they're all assuming he's left the room, and he keeps accidentally being in the room and they're slagging him off. And they do it so well that it was just so funny. And that for me is just a mark of how good it is. It's like it can make you, even in a bad mood, it can bring you out of it with a brilliant piece of comedy. And yeah, I think it's going to be a great watch.
Well, there you go. Silicon Valley is available on Now TV in the UK and other places as well. And
well, I mean, interesting though, because you guys are like into the third season now. Mm-hmm. Is it struggling to, like, as a journey? Is it still managing to? Is it? Because a lot of shows struggle when they get down the line into three or four. Seasons three or four with a lot of shows tend to be a bit shoddy. Is it struggling?
I don't think so. Nope. It still looks like it's still a relevant journey. There's a lot that has to happen to become a Google or, you know, some tech giant.
I mean, yeah, the subject matter of building a company is not a fascinating four series journey, in my opinion. And, you know, I'm excited about it, but how on earth are they going to stretch that out?
Well, it turns into something of like the Odyssey, doesn't it, Christian? Wouldn't you say it's? I mean, it's like these endless obstacles.
Yeah, and it does. There's setbacks, and then there's taking two steps back to take one step forward. in a lot of cases with them. But it's I think it's nicely paced in and an awful lot of other sitcoms, what they will do is they will pass over things like really, really quickly. And then you would get by season three, you go, okay, there's nothing really to talk about or nothing really to say anymore. But the pacing on this show is very, very good. And therefore, you know, there's still lots and lots to say in by season three. And the characters are so strong as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm most excited about. In fact, you know, Mel, Jamie still hasn't continued with Chuck. And the comparison here that I would make is that three series into Chuck is where that's how long it takes for the characters to get this immediately sort of familiar and comfortable. It's a different kind of comfortable. With Chuck, you know, you're watching people on a set enjoying themselves. With this, it's like a bit more disturbing how real they are, you know.
Yeah.
But it is rare that a comedy in its pilot can be this strong in terms of the characters, sort of the rounded nature of the characters.
Yeah, they're very well realized already, which is great because we have so little time with them. I mean, we've got these 30-minute episodes and it's 10 episodes per season, which I know for you guys is normal, but for us it's not.
So, if you were to mark out of 100 this and Chuck, what would they get, Mel?
Oh, they're so different. I mean, I know on the surface it seems the same because it's about tech, but one is about building a tech company and one is about a spy with technology in his head.
True. So which one's
better?
So
I refuse to fall into your trap because we both know that Chuck is better.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd like to say this, that with Chuck, I did give it five episodes of Chuck. I couldn't get into it. I did the rule. I did the time.
You're not here to do the rule. You're here to suffer for your art. So everyone else can get away with that, but not you.
Yeah. All right.
Season two is where you need to get to. You need to start enjoying these people's company. That's the point. Anyway, good luck with that. Jamie, you've got 2 weeks till I get back to watch that. Christian, well done. You've turned up late to the party, best dressed than anybody, and just walked out with a bottle of champagne that you didn't even bring. Well done. The next podcast is going to be on Gilmore Girls, which...
Yeah, I've got to say I'm worried about that podcast. I'm worried about it.
What are your fears?
Yeah, what are your sexist fears?
I've watched bits and bobs of Gilmore Girls by accident over the years, and I didn't particularly like what I saw, but obviously I've not sat down and given it a proper...
Look, let's face it, it's a mainstream thing, right? It's akin to something like Northern Exposure or something, I would imagine. But I started watching the first episode the other day, and I paused it 5 minutes in because I said, not only am I going to watch this for the podcast, I think my wife might enjoy watching this as well. So
she
I'll
will.
Save it.
Good call.
So I'm looking forward to it. And if if anyone listening wants to do this with us, watch episode one of the Gilmore Girls. It's now on Netflix worldwide. So go back to the beginning. I think it's from like 2010, I think. No, 2000, perhaps?
2000, yeah.
2000. Get on there and then join us for the next one. And email us, studio@theboxsetpod.com. Always nice to hear from you. Tell us what you would do. Would you take the $10 million or would you take $200,000 and have a stake in the company? Great to hear your opinion. Christian, thank you very much.
No problem. Anytime.
Mel, thank you very much.
Lovely to be here, as always.
Yeah, good luck with you and your country. And
thank you.
I'll be joining you in that country in just 4 days. So that's exciting. If you could keep Donald Trump quiet for the duration that I'm there, that would be fantastic.
Right. Yes, that's going to happen.
Yeah. Right. Thanks very much, everyone. See you next time.
Yeah.
Enjoy the summer break.
Cheers. Take care.
Cheers.
Mel, do you want like 10 minutes with Jamie just alone to talk about Chuck? Or...
Metaphor gonna go. Hit him over the head with it. No, yeah, he's Luke. Yeah. He's got things to do.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Which clearly don't involve watching checks.